Now I am become death, destroyer of worlds.
That's right. We watched Oppenheimer this week on The Movie Gap, the podcast that has you scream.
How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that?
Welcome to The Movie Gap. I'm your host, Chase Austin, and as always, the man who's so fucking smart, so fucking just a piece of shit, that he knew he was ruining the world and making us blow it all up himself, Bryce Perkins.
Hello. Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Chase.
The American Prometheus himself.
This is going to be a hard episode to do because in the past week, I have come across something that I think it could help a lot of people, but it could also destroy.
Well, how can it help people if it's going to destroy them as well?
There's this whole thing that it's like there could be way more deaths if I don't do this, you know, than if from the deaths from what I did create.
Well, why don't you make it and then we're going to spend another hour and a half taking your clearances away.
Yeah, you might need to do that because the ramifications of what I've created
are just going to be too awesome for you to handle. So you got to make sure that you don't do it just because you called me a poop head.
They're going to, yeah, and they're going to call me a communist. But
well, you've heard the term red flags.
Yeah,
if you're a communist, that's a pretty big red flag.
Someone, I think Mark Norman made that joke, I think.
I'm sure.
Hey, you didn't write that joke.
I didn't write that joke.
That's it. That's an inside joke. But do you want to know what it is that I created?
What did you create?
Well, it's a little something called the thong song. Let me see that thong. Are we recording? What's up, baby? I'm in.
Just in case anybody doesn't laugh at that.
Uh-huh. Which, that's certainly a...
Yeah, just go ahead.
What happened?
Let everybody know. What? Anybody that didn't laugh at that.
Let them know.
You didn't write it.
I didn't write that song.
Yeah, you didn't write it.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't write that one. The songs I did write, those are the ones you're laughing at.
Yeah, those are the ones you're laughing at.
Yeah. Oh, Joe Coy.
Oh, all
laughing
right.
On the outside.
Oppenheimer.
Crying on the inside.
Most people may or may not have seen this movie.
Well, what we'll find out in the numbers.
And some people watch parts of it.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, for those of you who didn't, newbie synopsis time. 1 minute, back of the box, go now. Swallow.
Oh, shit. Robert J.
Great opening.
Armenheimer? Robert J. Oppenheimer.
All on the back.
Listen, I didn't write the synopsis. The synopsis I did write, that's the one you like. I just want to get that out of the way, okay? But let's just give it a go. Robert J. Oppenheimer invented the nuclear bomb with a team of other scientists, I guess you could say. He didn't learn how to split the atom, but he learned how to take that technology and make it into a bomb. With a group of other scientists in a race with the Nazis who were also trying to do that. And there was a whole story about it. You're not going to believe this, but Man, there was a lot of detail that went into it. And that's what you're going to get when you watch this movie.
Anti.
Nice. Nice.
All right. Let's get right into this. Because, you know, there are over 3 hours of film here that we have to, like, talk about. So there's no time for chit-chat or banter or bits.
No, that's true.
Because we cut the chit-chat a-hole.
Absolutely
we
right.
Get right into this.
Absolutely right.
It is Oppenheimer.
Shut up!
What?
Enough of this ridiculous babble.
By the time this episode comes out, well, I don't really know when the Oscars are. But this may or may not be Best
Oscar
Picture
Week
already.
And this might be coming out Oscar Week,
it
huh?
Might. What is when's the Super Bowl?
February 11th.
So like 2 weeks from now? So this will come out right after the Super Bowl. So the Oscars haven't happened yet.
Okay, good. Well, then good. We're still
I think they come
catching
out,
that pre-Oscar hype.
Do they come out in like March? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Who cares? It's not the
Who
Super Bowl.
Who gives a fuck? It is
it's
not the
Super
Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Well, the Super Bowl could...
Nope, sorry. The big game. Whoops, don't get sued.
Wait, why? Why
it's
would
the
we
big
get
game.
Sued for
you
saying
can't
the
say,
Super Bowl?
You can't say anything besides calling it the big game. TM, bro.
No, I was talking about that great bowl.
Oh, you mean the place that,
yeah.
That we get our soups.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Super Bowl.
Man, I love
and that one Sunday every year, that's where we go and get a great soup.
And you know what? There's no better thing to just pick up in your car than a big old bowl of soup.
Absolutely. It
Fast
travels.
Food. Yeah, it's so good.
It travels. I eat it while I'm driving.
Well, I mean, you have to because they do not give you a top.
I get top a lot, baby, if you know what I'm saying. You don't get that reference because you're an old man, but trust me, the kids are laughing their asses off at that.
Does that mean you get to touch boob?
No, top is head.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tops and bottoms.
That's not it. Oh, you would think that's it, but no, the kids call head top now.
Really?
Yeah, it's not head. It's that's... top. So you learn something new every day. This is why we do the podcast.
Well, I'm
so
not
that you can learn what the new slang for a blowjob is.
I don't talk to a lot of children, and I definitely don't talk to them about sex acts. So...
Which brings us to our new segment.
Bryce talks who's, to kids who, about sex.
No. Fuck. No. It was going to be, who's on the Epstein list? Okay, let's... who do we got this week, Chase? Just kidding. Man. Topical humor. Ha, 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 ha.
Is this some kind of joke?
Oh, boy.
I hope it is.
Yeah.
It is. It is. It's all for humor.
This podcast is.
Yeah. So. Oppenheimer.
What about it?
Christopher Nolan.
Yep.
Right. Were you excited about this film coming out?
Absolutely.
Right?
This was the one last year that I was most excited about, and the thing is, like, I don't get excited about movies coming out very often, and this was the rare occasion which I actually wanted to go to the theater to see a movie.
All right, well, let's not spoil anything.
Okay,
but at the end of the episode when we get your rating,
yeah,
that's when we need to find out, were you happy with the wait or were you disappointed?
I was happy.
I said wait till the end.
Sorry, I was getting top. I wasn't paying attention. Was it?
No, I told you they don't give you tops.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
You gotta eat that bowl because otherwise you'll spill it on whoever's giving you head.
That's right. Exactly. And you don't want that.
Yeah, I think you blew him.
Yeah.
By the way, just finally got through to that episode.
Yeah.
It's easily my favorite episode ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Your favorite Kurt. One.
Oh, I watched it.
Uh-huh.
And then I watched it again immediately.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was the greatest.
Yeah.
It was so good.
That's a good one. Yeah, no. That is a good one. I think you blew him.
Yeah, I think you blew him.
Didn't I give you that mug?
Yeah, you did.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It got me like, so hard. It got me so hard.
Don't put the repeat. Although I did watch the episode twice.
Yeah.
All right. So Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
You got some notes?
Yep.
All right. Pull them out.
Let me pull those pull bad boys out.
There we go.
There we go. These are my notes.
For Oppenheimer. I've
got them out.
All right. Yep. Let's start right at the top of the notes.
Oh, you want to start at the top, huh? Yeah, start okay. At the top. Yeah. That's, I'm getting some right now, actually. Let's see.
Shut up, your honor. Let me talk.
I was like, man. Okay, so first of all, I saw it in, there was the different releases of this. There yes. was the IMAX. Now, Chase, did, what I want to know is, did you see this in theaters?
Hell no. I refuse.
Hell no.
Yeah. I refuse.
That's a resounding
to go,
hell no.
I refuse okay. to go to the theater.
Okay.
Unless I could see it in 70 millimeter. Uh-huh. And there just wasn't one showing it around.
Not a
convenient time for me.
Uh-huh. Now, I did see it in theaters.
Uh-huh.
And I did see it in 70 millimeter with one favorite Brit, fan favorite Brit.
The most common Brit that we have.
Fan favorite British commoner, Edward Ball. You all know him. We went to see that together, him and his lovely partner, Sarah. So shout out to Sarah. And we saw that in 70 millimeter, and we found a theater that was showing it that was close enough. And, you know, that was a treat, I will say. I don't know if there was something up with the projector, though, because it was a little flashy. It was a little, like, I could see the frames moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah. But other than that, it was cool. But there was also the IMAX release.
Yeah.
Which I've heard was, I unfortunately did not go see it again in IMAX. Ed did. And he said that that was actually worth it to see it again in IMAX. Apparently, the nuclear bomb scene was even more incredible in IMAX, but alas, I did not get to see it there. I only saw it in the 70 millimeter, and it was cool. It was quite the experience, I must say. You know, so yeah, that's my first note. This All right. is cool to see in 70 millimeter.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed seeing that.
No, Chase, but Chase, can you explain to me what the point of that is? What's the point of the 70 millimeter? What's the fucking difference?
Well, okay, so
why does that matter?
The difference is just like what the lens itself can capture, like what can actually be caught on film.
Yeah,
right. So it's like,
and so standard film is 35 millimeter
size.
Is that right?
Yeah, and scope.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
So if you watch the film,
get up on that mic, why don't you?
Yeah,
I'm
just trying to get up on it. Yeah, I feel like when I do
get
this,
right on it.
Yeah, when I do that, then I get.
It's a clever balance. You see how I barely touch.
Yeah, but I do that, but I'm also very like movable.
Well, you're gonna sound quiet, and people are gonna be like, "Wow, Bryce is mixing Chase down."
I'm very loud,
and that's not what's happening. Chase is off the mic.
No.
This is what Chase is doing. He's basically talking over here.
No,
he does the whole episode like this.
Look, you can't hear me.
You no, I can't hear you at all.
I know, I have to yell.
There you are.
Yeah. No. Basically, yeah. It's it's what the camera can pick up, and it's how it's like how much light it can get into it, and things like that, and how you like the way that you light the different versions of film also will affect how it looks, and it's the aperture that the lens and the camera itself is different, right? So like, you know, you have like a 35 millimeter camera that picks up things differently than a digital camera or a video camera or 16 or anything like that. What it is able to pick up is different. Visually being the key, because for the most part, unless you're going digital, sound is picked up separately.
Yeah,
right. So if you watch the movie on your like regular television, if you watch one that does like adjust the frame rate, especially like the 4K and stuff like that, or not the frame rate, the framing. The masking of it. You really don't notice the difference. Like, I'm sure when you saw it in 70, like, it changed between what was like like the size of the screen, and you probably didn't even really notice it was happening.
Yeah. What do you mean it changed the size of the screen?
So like, not the screen, but the masking, like where the black lines would be.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, when it would be in, the IMAX, it's more square. Uh-huh. It would go from top to bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and
yeah.
fill that out. Then yeah. when it becomes the widescreen 35, it would be, wider across the sides, uh-huh. but, like thinner from top to bottom.
Okay. I see.
And if you watch it on your television, you're not even going to really notice it.
Yeah.
At least not notice the change. And sometimes it'll change between shots. Uh-huh. Like he really integrated it very well.
Yeah. What he's integrating what though?
Like with, the different, what with the what? Different, film.
But uses. The whole thing was in 70 though.
No, the whole thing was not in 70. There would be yes. no reason to film the whole thing in 70.
Wait, why do you say that? Wasn't that because the point of the 70 millimeter theatrical release was that the whole thing was in 70?
That was they were actually projecting a 70 millimeter copy of the 70 millimeter screens. Like it was all printed on 70 millimeter uh-huh. so that it could go through that camera. But like the stuff that he didn't shoot in IMAX, he didn't shoot the whole thing in IMAX.
Uh-huh.
Because if he did that, the camera is so large. Oh,
I
know,
but I didn't see it in IMAX though,
or not IMAX, but the 70 millimeter.
Yeah,
like he didn't shoot the whole thing in 70. Like there is a different aspect ratio.
Okay,
that happens throughout the film.
But it was just being projected
IMAX,
on 70.
The IMAX is 70 millimeter.
Uh huh.
Right.
Okay.
So like that is what I think IMAX might actually be larger than that, but
uh huh.
Yeah, no, there's a difference in the actual image that you're seeing. Okay. It's the aspect ratio.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, think of like the lighthouse. You've seen the lighthouse, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like that
box. We did yeah. an episode on it.
Yeah. That's the old Academy ratio,
uh-huh.
right? That's what movie theaters used to project.
Yeah.
And 35 came out with things, and then like you got bigger... was like 75 and bigger scopes.
Yeah.
And then you have your IMAX, which is a whole different one. As
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it changes.
Yeah.
It changes what you can see, and it changes how much depth of field
uh-huh.
the actual camera can pick up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
It's super technical, and it kind of doesn't really matter if you're doing a... It depends on what kind of film you're making.
I mean, it honestly feels like you need to be Robert Oppenheimer himself to even understand what the fuck goes into any of that, to be honest. I'm so lost.
Yeah, some of it you do.
But you know, that's what we have Christopher Nolan for, right? You know, the guy's a maestro. Hey, we're not talking about the maestro right now. We aren't. Maybe another time, but...
Guess what? None of the awards are talking about that.
Oh, got him! Wait, did he not get nominated for that?
Yeah, he got, nominated for stuff, yeah. but he hasn't won anything.
Best actor. Bradley Cooper did.
I think he got nominated for that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For playing Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah.
Berenstain. No, it's Berenstain.
Berenstain, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Leonard Berenstain.
Yep. It's a Mandela effect. Yeah. People don't realize that. People always thought it was Berenstain. It's Berenstain.
It's Berenstain.
Yeah, so...
That's improv that you can use.
Okay, so do you remember seeing... let's talk about Nolan a little bit here, because it's a tricky...
Let's talk about Nolan.
It's a tricky relationship between fan and Christopher Nolan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's a little complicated, isn't it? Because we all agree he's great. He's an amazing director, right?
We don't all agree, but I do.
We all know yeah. what he can do.
Yeah.
And he's had his hits, but then he released a movie called Tenet, and it was the worst piece of dog shit I think I've ever watched in my life. Visually stunning.
I mean, that is what...
But that's what he does.
Yeah, and so this is what I believe, like, this would drive the chasm between him and Fincher for me.
Okay.
Like, I think that Fincher is the greatest working director of, like this generation right now. I mean, I know that Scorsese's still around and everything, but he's on his...
I was going to say...
He's on his downslope.
Have you seen Killers yet?
I did. I enjoyed it quite thoroughly.
I loved it.
I will probably never, ever watch it again. Just like The Irishman.
It's too long.
Yeah. Well, and it was kind of like, all right, I get it.
Yeah. I thought it was great, though.
It was. Oh, yeah. It was phenomenal.
I'm surprised Leo didn't get it a nom.
Well.
Should we do an episode on Killers, too?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe we should.
All right. Anyway.
I love doing anything that I don't have to rewatch a movie for.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe next week we do Killers and
Galaxy Quest. Yeah.
All right. But anyway, so then we'll save that for that.
Yeah.
But
like Fincher is just a master of the art of storytelling, and like he knows what he has to do with the camera and how to get it there. He's more of an auteur, I think, than Nolan is, which is just a whole different thing in the sense of who he works with and how he works. Right. He has hit this like Netflix wall, unfortunately, that he can't get out of. But I think he's on his way out of that. But
is the last few things that he's done have been on Netflix? Is that what it is?
Basically, yeah. Because he signed that deal with Netflix back when he was like, "I'm going to break the system," and then he unfortunately broke the system.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah. By like creating.
I seem to remember you telling me something about this.
Yeah. But the killer. The one that he did with his last film that just got dropped on Netflix this past year is fucking phenomenal. And just like a masterclass in how to shoot a film and just like being able to be nuanced in things that you're nuanced because it requires it.
Mm-hmm.
And Nolan is kind of the opposite, but also the same where it's like, all right, your films are great and you are like, he is such a great master of like the technology, but it's more why. Like, why are we doing it other than the fact that you just want to show us this other stuff?
Yeah, and that's exactly what Tenet felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, yeah, this is fun in a way, but I'm so bored because it's too complicated. And it's like, did we need to use this?
Yeah.
And you know, Oppenheimer is very much on the same, you know, it's closer to like he's more of a modern day Cameron in like he's pushing the technological boundaries of things than and using them in a way that works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than it's for the sake of storytelling itself.
Yeah.
You know, which maybe that's what we need right now. If what we need is to continue to go to the theater.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, like, do we need to go to the theater to get good stories? No, I don't think we do.
No, not at all. And I think we should go to Instagram Reels.
Yeah. Well, okay. but I think we should be able to get these going. Like, great narratives or whether they're linear or not, you know, but being able to use that technology in the way that it should be used, is it necessary? Like, are we all about spectacle or are we about telling real stories or even, you know, outlandishly not real stories, which I'm all a fan of as well. I mean, Star Wars being one of the biggest.
Yeah.
Right. But being able to enjoy them in our own home as well as go to the theater, you know? So, you know, we're at this like weird crossroads that comes up every time new technology is introduced in the home entertainment field where it's like, well, do we need to keep the cinema alive? And what is the cinema going to do to make it stay alive?
Well, yeah. do we need to keep the cinema alive? And,
I don't know.
What do we need to do to make it stay alive?
I don't know. You know, it's like maybe what Nolan is doing, maybe what...
Gerwig is doing.
Gerwig well, is doing.
But see, that's, I mean, the Barbenheimer, like, phenomenon was...
that might have been the most positive thing to come out of last year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like it did, like, that certainly did a lot for getting people back into the theaters, you know, right?
And well, that's the other thing is that people don't want to sit.
What an event that was.
Like, it doesn't matter. People don't want to stay inside. Uh-huh. Like, they don't want to stay at home all the time. Like, the cinema's not going anywhere. What I think we are really craving, though, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm usually not. I was wrong once. Turned out later I was right. Dash Adrian Monk. That was a quote.
I don't get it. Is that from Monk?
Yeah, it's
from Monk. Oh, okay.
We need to get back to, like, just putting real stories on the big screen as opposed to only having them at home.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. My computer turned off. But yeah, so, you know, I don't know that it needs to be this big flash kind of thing. I think at the end of the day, we're going to get back to, like, just having good movies again.
Uh-huh.
Where they don't have to be this big, you know, bright, flashy, get your butt into the theater or you'll never experience it the same way again.
Sure.
You know, and if people do want to experience that way, good. Let them.
Well, it's interesting you bring that point into it of, like, seeing this in theaters as its own experience, because this movie had the coolest experience I've ever had watching a movie in a theater.
Okay.
And that was the ignition of the bomb.
Well, and scene. That was, like, the big selling point.
Right. And then there was an hour and a half after that.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with the
bomb. Much like Barbenheimer. I mean, Barbie.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, here it is. Like, the big bomb. Like,
yeah.
America Ferrera drops the big, like, this is the message. This is why you came to the movie. Yeah. This is why we're here. And then you're like, oh, wait, the movie's only half fucking over?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man, why? You know what? That's so, it's just so, I don't know. I think time is going to, like, when we look back on this, on these two movies in 10 years, I think the main thing people will be talking about is just the complete cultural phenomenon that took place with them two coming out together.
Yeah, on
and
the same
what movie, is it yeah. about those two movies that are just, like, so opposites, but so many people wanted to see both of them and were so hype about both of them. It was such a, there's something about these two movies that just fucking works together in a really weird way.
Yep.
And that's the thing I'm going to remember the most about the fucking thing is, like,
my wife and I watched both of these the same weekend.
We've never seen.
Right, or not the same weekend, the same night.
I don't think movies has ever had something so hype before. As far as an event with two different movies like that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, sure, you've had your Star Wars and you have your sequels of Star Wars come out and everyone's hype about that and you have your Avengers and all that.
Yeah.
But those were all just, like, one thing. But the way that this came together with two completely fucking different movies like that is so weird. Like, what an event. It's like, and how the fuck did, I mean, obviously it happened because of algorithms,
yeah.
right? The internet. But it just was, it was crazy. And then, you know, yeah, who knows if there's going to be something like that ever again. I don't know. It's just such a weird thing.
Now, I will say, this movie was, I don't know what you would necessarily cut other than the third act altogether. I mean, I think that, well, no, you just cut that whole fucking thing way the fuck down.
You know, it could do with some editing.
I mean, certainly. Just like major trimming.
Major trimming, sure. But, you know, it all played.
We're getting to that 1970s into the 80s. Thing of filmmaking where it's like somebody's got to tell these directors fucking stop. Like, fucking stop. Like,
well, so
I get, like, I am all for a long movie if it needs to be long,
but the thing is,
but, like, what about this needed to be that long?
I felt like it all still works. It all still worked for some reason. It didn't really bother me. I
wasn't bored. My wife was wildly bored.
Sure, sure.
Granted, we had just watched Barbie, and she was out on that 45 minutes in.
Sure.
So, like, it was right after that. She's like, all right, we'll watch this. And she's like, how is this brighter than Barbie? What? Like, I mean, like, just visually, you're just like,
yeah.
Oh, she's like, I hate Christopher Nolan. And she's like, he's like, everything's so dark. And she's like, why? And she's like, I got to put on my sunglasses. This is too bright. And that's,
there were, yeah, the way it's shot. With them being outside and stuff. Yeah, certainly. But there was just so much fucking cool about this movie that just like worked so well, that I really don't have a problem with the length of it.
No, and I don't either, other than like rewatchability. I mean, I do think Flower Moon was like kind of too long, but also like you can't cut any of it. Yeah, like there's nothing to lose.
Right.
You know, sometimes movies just have to be long. You know, I feel like Flower Moon was paced a lot more like a limited series almost. In the sense of like, oh, well, we could just like pause here and come back and pause here and come back. This one, it you know, just like a Nolan thing, his movies can be long and you don't realize how long they are until they're over. Now, when the bomb dropped, you're like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We still got another fucking hour?
Yeah.
Maestro, holy fuck. Every 10 minutes, I was like, how much longer is this goddamn movie?
Really?
And then right about Snoopy the Vestibule, I was like, all right, well, it's almost over. Oh, shit. We got another hour left. I'm out.
Wait, what was this third one you just said? Snoopy the Vestibule? What
did Snoopy, you say? Snoopy in the Vestibule. Who abandoned Snoopy in the Vestibule?
I don't even, what the fuck is this?
Have you watched Maestro?
No.
Oh, it's worth checking it out. But like once you get to the Snoopy
part, but you just told me before we got into this that you couldn't finish it.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's worth checking out?
That's where just like check it out just to be like, oh yeah, this is great filmmaking, but like I really don't care.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. It's boring. I mean, it's just boring.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Yeah. But like that's the thing is that this movie's not boring. Like the whole time it's
I don't think it's boring.
And that is one thing that Nolan does well is he can keep something going at this clip. Like even though it's 3 hours long, it's moving at a clip that you're just like, well, I can't turn it off yet. I'll turn it off in a minute. Like even after the bomb and you're like, wait, there's an hour left. Like maybe I'll turn it off.
But the thing is though, is that yes, the bomb was the big selling point, and yes, the bomb was like hands down the fucking coolest thing I've ever seen in a movie theater. But you still care
about the character.
But the movie is about, it's fucking called Oppenheimer. It's about the dude's life. And it's about what it was like to come across this project and be involved in this project and be the leader of this project and how, what kind of a fucking toll that took on him mentally and even and physically. And, and then you can't just show the bomb and then end it after that, because the big thing about Oppenheimer's life was the aftermath of the fucking bomb. So not only of the aftermath of like, oh my God, what have I done? And that awesome fucking scene where they're cheering him on, but it keeps flashing in between the screams of the people dying and he's just hearing the rubble and but the people are cheering and he's again, like sitting there is, like, oh my God. And then, this is then the, he this steps is the on Nolan the he steps it. On the fucking ash body and like, oh dude, that was so fucking cool. And
this is the Nolan of it, because he peppers those little things. It's not like completely narrative. Or linear. I should say, right? Like we start seeing little bits of what comes later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and, right.
And like it starts to make sense. And then by the time you get to the end, you thought you'd already seen the scene that we see at the end.
Right, you know?
But like we hadn't even gotten there.
Yeah, right.
You know?
What did you make of, I mean, what did you think about the artistic choice of black and white for the... I guess modern day, and then in color for the story of him building the bomb.
I mean, I thought that was
it's a good choice.
Yeah, it was not. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I think it helped.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's necessarily necessary. I think.
Yeah. I guess that's what I'm asking. Was it necessary?
It didn't feel like. Oh, we're doing this to make sure the audience can tell.
Which
makes people like lauded Traffic when Traffic came out,
it had
had like three different like color schemes, and this was like back in the early days of digital. Like going back and watching it, you're like, whoa, why is this orange and why is this green?
But
it's three different storylines, and it's keeping you, it's like telling the audience in those worlds here, that's there
in this world it's a green hue, in this world it's an orange hue.
Yeah, like this storyline can keep you, you know, but like, and I don't think that the audience needs that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that was why they did it. I think it has to do with the fact that, like you said, once he dropped that bomb, once he, mm-hmm. or he didn't drop it, but once he created yeah. that bomb,
yeah,
and especially when he wasn't even fucking told that the bomb was dropping.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he didn't get the call.
Right.
Or whatever. Right, yeah. You know? Like, that's when the color went out, and he realized...
Yeah.
Like, not only is everything that I've done ruining the rest of the world, quite uh-huh. possibly,
yeah.
but I have nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah, and you know... Yeah, right.
And so, like, there's a narrative reason and a character reason that the color changes, not just
well, but also I just remembered that with it's actually it's black and white only for the Robert Downey Jr.'s character.
Yeah,
it's black and white for him, his yeah. story about like him getting exposed for being yeah, a dickhead,
the,
and basically
the taking away,
and it's all color yeah. for everything Oppenheimer, because yeah. even in like the post bomb dropping, and even in later life, all of that's in color with Oppenheimer. So there was that aspect too.
Yeah, like, it's not just
it was like good a, yeah, guy it's not bad just guy.
Story. Yeah,
yeah, it was good guy bad guy. Bad guy it's, stuff.
But all of it, like, there's only really one real time that we're like seeing Oppenheimer when it's not from sort of Oppenheimer's point of view, like not a literal point of view shot. But uh-huh. like we're experiencing all of the things with Oppenheimer through his point of view, even though we're seeing him, not like his physical point of view, but like
yeah.
we are seeing the world of him the way that he's seeing it, right? Uh-huh. Other than when he's in that interrogation room with his wife, and she is watching him answer questions about fucking Reagan Pugh.
Yeah, Reagan Pugh. Yeah. Wait, why Reagan Pugh? I don't get it.
Just because that's what I always call Florence Pugh for.
Oh, okay.
I knew a guy named Reagan Pugh. And
like, oh, that's right. We've had this discussion before. Yeah. That's right.
That always pops in.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Oh, man. And then there was that stuff, too, which was fucking wild. Was not expecting that. But also, I mean, worked. I mean, I thought it... I don't know, dude. I don't know what you cut out of it.
There's nothing not... I mean,
I thought
I think
all,
there's a way to trim down the last act.
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah.
I don't know that we need to spend as much time with, what's his name?
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, but what's the character? Strauss. Yeah.
That's right.
I don't think that we need to spend as much time on that, but uh-huh. it is also a whole thing of like, if you go from this big buildup of this giant bomb and you drop the bomb in fucking IMAX 70mm, like you film it that way, uh-huh. and then we just leave the audience with like, and then 15 minutes later, you know, all of this other stuff happened to him. Uh-huh. Like all of a sudden you're just like, if you don't have that hour afterward, yeah. you leave the theater and be like, man, did you see that fucking bomb
drop? Yeah, yeah, and that's all right? you're
By the
about.
Time you're done with that yeah. whole other stuff, you've really had a lot of time to settle.
Yeah.
On because like the thing about the bomb is that it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't want it to sit with the audience and let it stay there that it's just like, whoa, that yeah. was awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, it is awesome. It is in like awe-inspiring. It
yeah.
is full of awe. It is awesome.
Yeah.
yeah. Right? Yeah. But yeah. in a terrifying, horrible
right.
way
right.
that has, you know, gone on to create more problems.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's dropped one since, but
yeah.
you know, at the same time, it's like
we have more of them now, and we have even more powerful ones yeah. now, and everyone, and there you got two countries that are stockpiled yeah. with them.
So if you build this whole movie about Oppenheimer, like then you lose the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
If you leave the audience with the bomb dropped,
and yeah,
it worked,
yeah, exactly,
and that's, then we, you know, then the we thing. Won the war,
right?
Like that
right.
was one of the things that Carrie was like, why didn't we see it drop on? Like, why didn't we see the real? I was like, Carrie, come on.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what this is about.
Right. I mean, like, it was...
Literally, that's what you might be thinking is going to happen.
Yeah.
And, like, how did we see, quote, unquote, see that happen?
Uh-huh.
In yeah, this film? Through his being like, they didn't
dealing
even
with
fucking
it.
Call me.
Yeah.
Like, that's... It happened then.
We saw it through his conscience,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And, but, like, when it actually happened, when the bombs were being dropped...
Yeah, yeah.
He was like... They couldn't have possibly done it.
Yeah.
Like, they would have at least, like, told me
yeah,
what was
right.
really going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's the other stuff. Like, you know, I didn't realize obviously, I didn't realize any of that stuff, all the politics that went on it, went into it. It was all of the, like the way that the...
Well, and then it's also
being used by the U.S. military, were using the scientists themselves as weapons, basically, and basically treated them as such. They were like, hey, figure out how to make this fucking bomb for us. Right now, your brain is the weapon right now. Make the bomb for us. Okay, you did it. It works. Tell me if it'll work. Yes, it'll work. Cool. Thanks. Bye. You're done. Goodbye. I'm not telling you when we're dropping it. We're not telling you. You are out. So, like, they got treated like fucking commodity. You know what I mean? And they were. And, like, that aspect of it is fucking crazy. And what a cool thing to show. What a cool thing to show an audience of civilians that don't realize these things about how war works and stuff. It's like, you got a fucking industry of people that are just like, our only fucking goal is to squeeze whatever advantage we can out of our citizens so that we have the upper hand in this war, and they're nothing but commodities to us. We're trying to win a fucking war. So you may be Robert Oppenheimer, this great quantum physics guy, but to us, you're a fucking machine that makes bombs and makes big bombs and get us that big bomb now, and then that's it. We don't give a fuck about you. It's like, you don't think about these kinds of things. You know what I'm saying? And then so he's dealing with that, and he's like, I did all this for them because they made me feel like I was very smart. Now they're treating me like I'm just like I'm a useless piece of shit anyway, and now I, what have I done? I've made this fucking killing machine for them because they buttered me up and made me feel special.
Yeah.
And so his ego's getting, but now his ego goes up in flames with the bomb as soon as it's dropped. You know, it's fucking like it's so great. And it was and I felt a very successful way of showing all that stuff, but I get that some people probably just didn't have the patience for it, I guess, you know.
Well, and then, like, on top of that, like, you know, the whole reason that he got his credentials removed is because Strauss was butthurt.
Yeah.
And he didn't even talk shit about him.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Also, I never, like, really, we grew up and were born in a post-atom bomb world, right?
Maybe some of us.
I don't know what that means, but I do know that you may or may not work for the government, but and we don't have to get into that.
I may or may not be a Highlander.
Exactly. I mean, there can
be... And by that, I mean immortal.
There can be only one.
There can be only one, and I may or may not be that one.
And you may or may not be that one. I get it. I know, and you may or may not work for the government. Does the government have a Highlander on the payroll? I don't know. Is that you? We don't know.
We don't know. We just don't know.
We just don't know, but I have a feeling that that is what it is, but we just don't know. But yeah, I didn't, since we grew up in a post atom bomb world, it was just always a part of reality for us.
Yeah.
But pre atom bomb world, the idea of that even being a thing, I didn't realize how fucking actually like earth changing, shattering.
I mean, they didn't
that
know
was.
What, they didn't know what it was going to do.
They didn't even know what it was going to do.
Yeah.
Like, that is crazy, bro. And I, and like, so that was another thing that this movie did a really good job of portraying, was like, just how fucking, like, absolutely paradigm shifting this entire thing was. And the, what were the chances of guy in Germany wants to take over the world, scientists figure out how to split the atom.
Yeah.
At the same time. What are the fucking chances of that?
Well, and you know, like that was another
That's
thing.
Fucking that they, crazy, dude.
That was another thing that they talk about too, is that like this was meant to end the war in Germany.
Right.
This was meant to end like the people who were working on it were all about
that. And they were going to drop that shit in Europe.
Yeah.
And that was the idea.
And they didn't get it done in time. So by the time they got it done, they were like, well, then we're not going to use it, right?
Yeah.
But then they were like, no, we're still
Well, we're still at war.
It. Yeah. You know, and like they didn't know if it was going to ignite the entire atmosphere on fire.
Yeah,
you know, like it's, they really still didn't completely know.
Yeah. Which that also made for such a cool line at the end where Einstein was like, you know, you did it, like they were like, when they were like, we don't know if it'll start a chain reaction that'll blow up the whole atmosphere, and he was like, you did.
Yeah, you did.
You did.
Yeah,
you just, you know, you'll see that's gonna be the result.
Yeah,
it's a cool fucking line. And what a crazy perspective. What a fucking thing to like have to like live with and stuff. I mean, dude, I mean, what a crazy fucking time, dude. You want to talk about like actual shit that actually matters. You know, we're over here, people, kids, we're all talking about the Oscars and shit. This motherfucker, we're like, this is real shit right here. And it is fucking crazy. We live in a world where we have things that can split atoms and just wipe out anything in its path. That is fucking insane, dude. That's insane. That should not be the case.
No. Nope.
Why do we have these weapons? It's fucking insane. I'll tell you
why. Because it is run, this entire world,
yeah,
run by a bunch of fucking Kens.
Exactly. And we found that out through Barbie. Thank mm-hmm. God for that.
Yeah.
Yep. That's true. Because if women were in power, there wouldn't be no wars. There nope. wouldn't be no bombs. We know that.
Nope.
We know that for sure. We
Well, we can only know that when Greta Gerwig makes a sequel to Barbie.
Right, right, right. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it's just like, what a fucking insane world we live in. And this movie just did such a great fucking job of showing it. And the bomb drop or the bomb ignition scene, the bomb test scene, was such a great, like, middle climax. Because that scene itself, I don't know, just did such a good job of showing the physical and the mental aspect of the what it all, the repercussions of what the fuck they just did.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you something that I thought about watching this film. Like, Murphy is phenomenal. Like, everybody in this movie is great. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it kind of starts to, like, get a little slow.
It drags a little bit. It gets a little redundant.
Not, yeah, and not in a bad, like, I mean, it is the story that it's going
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
Right. And
oh, yeah, our girl Emily Nolan Blunt was in this.
Yeah, and Nolan is, like, snap. Like, he's a good director of, like, getting in and out of, like, these over-the-top scenes. I mean, sometimes uh-huh. to the point of, like, where he'll be like, well, the first six lines will take place in this room, and then the six lines will take place on this cliff.
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
yeah,
yeah. He does like to do that.
He but it's does.
A visual
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That, whatever.
Yeah, that's a Nolan trope. Yeah.
But you know what he did very, very well is threw fucking Matt Damon in.
Oh, man.
And Matt Damon comes in.
I loved him in this.
And, like,
he's fucking so
such
good.
Such a good actor, so great. But, so like, good. Also, there's something to be said about, like, a Matt Damon who's got this, like, star power where you just, like, start to listen different. Like, it's like he comes on screen and there's just this different energy.
Got a terrific penis.
Maybe. I don't know. Allegedly.
Yeah.
I mean,
wait, really? Is that an alleged thing?
No, I mean, his partner, his old partner did.
Ben?
We saw that in Gone Girl. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. right. We saw the Ben, what did we call it? The bat dick or whatever. Nah, whatever. Anyway. Bat peen. Yeah. Whatever.
But you know, like he comes on and you're like, oh, I'm like kind of paying attention again a little bit. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You, like this like and like he's kind of a dick.
Right.
No pun intended. Not to
yeah,
go back.
Yeah,
to
yeah, yeah.
Like he's not like a character that matters in the same way.
Uh-huh.
But like all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is somebody I can listen to for a second.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Like a spoonful of sugar with all your like
definitely
medicine,
definitely
know?
And yeah. he does a great job, man. I think he does a great job in this.
Damon's amazing.
Damon's good. Yeah,
it's all about his. You know.
Yeah.
He just got that little like it factor.
Yeah.
That you forget sometimes. He's got right. it, and like what it really means to have that.
How do you like them apples?
I like it pretty well.
How do you like them apples, Jerry? How do you like them apples? I just mixed up. That's a crossover reference.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the apples.
Favorite episode.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Of what? The movie gap?
No, of Seinfeld.
Oh, of them. That's your favorite episode of Seinfeld?
Yeah, it's the marine biologist.
Is that the marine biologist? Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah, it is. Because it's right as he's talking to Elaine about Golden Boy.
And yeah.
Goes, you can't handle
oh, and he comes
the truth.
In. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then later on, it ends up being that he like meets what's her name? Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys,
that's right, that's
if you haven't seen The Marine Biologist, the episode of Seinfeld, go back and watch
it. That's a good one. But you know what? We all know what my favorite is.
I know. I have a shirt from that one.
Yeah. You do have a shirt
from
that one.
I actually do have a shirt from that one. I got you a shirt from it, but your sister stole it.
Oh yeah, that's right. She does have it. That's right. Hilarious. Yeah. And I didn't even know she took it
until
I saw her wearing it. I was like, what?
That's mine.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we digress, don't we?
Always.
But anyway, I think we've said everything that needs to be said about it. I've needed to say about
there's
it.
There's that one guy from the Orville that's on the show that was in this movie.
What guy?
The redheaded guy. Did you watch the Orville?
Yeah, he's in this. He's in this?
Scott Grimes, yeah. The captain, or the pilot.
Yeah, the smart-ass pilot. He was in this? What did he play?
He was like a council member.
Well, he was in this. What did he play?
Yeah, he's in it.
Oh, okay.
I bet there's like 9 people in this that I wasn't.
No, even there are. Look, this
Seinfeld.
It's star studded. It's Emily Blunt, Florence Pugh.
Hamlet himself. Several Hamlets. Well, no Kenneth Branagh's in it.
You had Florence Pugh, and then you had Florence Pubes. Florence's pubes that were in it.
Wow.
And then you.
All right. All right, dude.
I mean, there was someone that had to make that joke at some point in time, and it had to be me. All right, this is the thing that I'm dealing with. I don't believe I can't fathom what I've created with this joke. Okay, the repercussions of that joke will be felt for generations. You understand?
Oh yeah.
And then I just killed like so many. I'm just kidding. Anyway,
just quit while you're behind.
We get on very well.
You got Emily Blunt. Did I say her yet?
We did.
You had Matt Damon. You got Cillian Murphy, of course, and it is pronounced Killian. You have
Robert Downey Jr.
Jason dude.
Clark.
I don't know who that is.
But you'd recognize
him. Well, how does Downey do, right? He does great.
Downey's amazing, and Downey's great. Like, he's winning the awards for this too.
Wait, did he get nominated?
He got nominated
for best supporting.
Best supporting, and he won the Golden Globe.
Did he?
Yeah,
I know Killian won the best actor. Who's the favorite right now for best actor? Is it Killian?
I don't know. I haven't looked at like the odds, but I would think so.
Yeah. Who's he up against for best actor?
There, one of them is.
No, not Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Toy Boy Gosling.
I thought you got supporting, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
David Desmalchin is in this.
Who's that?
He's a weird looking guy.
Cool. Okay.
But he like his first big
Was he one of the scientists?
Yeah, he's Borden.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was in the James Gunn Suicide Squad. He was the polka dot man.
Get
and, like you've seen him in other
that.
Things.
He, oh yeah, I know that guy. I like him a lot.
He's in the Dark Knight. He's the one the Joker. Yeah.
Yep.
Like that was his first like big thing.
Yep, he's in that. He's also that,
like kind of launched him, and that was in Nolan.
He's also in Zodiac, isn't he? No, he's in one of the Finchers.
Oh yeah, that we just
He was in Gone Girl.
Was it Gone Girl?
Yeah. He was in Gone Girl. Anyway, yeah, I like
and
him.
And Dune and yeah.
Oh well. The original Dune, he was
in the new one. He was also in Weird, the Al Yankovic story.
Was he? I forgot.
Yeah. But yeah, he's been in just a bunch of stuff. Jack Quaid.
Randy's dad. I mean, it could be possible, right? His dad.
Oh, it's Randy. It's Randy and Ryan's son.
It's Randy's son, though?
Randy's son.
Not
and
Dennis's.
And Meg Ryan's son. No, I mean Dennis. Dennis.
Oh,
and Meg
oh,
Ryan.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Dennis and Meg Ryan's kid.
Yeah.
What does he look like? I need to. What was he? Who did he play?
He was Finneman, but he's been. He's like in The Boys.
Oh, we had fucking.
He
kids.
Looks. He looks exactly like
Dennis Quaid Meg and Ryan, Meg Ryan put together.
Yeah. Like I don't have the thing up, but I'll hear.
Here,
I'll
no, no, turn on, turn on.
Well, I don't have it plugged
here,
in.
Show me. Show the people at home. Yeah, the people right at home. Okay. Yeah. Wow. He really looks like Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
I can see it in the eyes. Bigger, wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Okay. So he played that guy. Fucking Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. Kenneth Branagh.
Whatever. Brownow.
Brown Eye.
Kenneth Branagh. Brown Eye. Everyone's
James
favorite.
Urbaniak, who I love.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Who did he play?
Rami Malek was in it.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Mistake of a Oscar winner. Another mistake of an Oscar winner. Casey Affleck was in it.
Oh, dude, he was good in it though. He was good, wasn't he? He was good in this. Well, you don't think he was good? He played a dick really good.
Got a terrific penis.
let's not go there. Since he may or may not be a rapist.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh no!
Let's not go there.
Here we go.
Peace.
Oh shit.
But yeah, now it's I mean it's a stacked cast. It's great. I mean I really enjoyed this movie a lot.
Okay.
Will I ever watch it again? Okay. Maybe in like 20, 30 years. I bet if I had a kid, I'd watch it again.
Sure.
You
know what
you need to see?
Yeah.
This flick.
Yeah. But yeah. That fucking man. But when that sound goes out as soon as the thing goes off, and then the way it comes back in.
I mean, yeah, that's
right out. Oh, man, that's just, it was so cool, well, man. And again, just like well executed.
And like that is one thing about Nolan, and that is one of the reasons that like the movie is set up the way that it's set up, mm-hmm. is that he so expertly shoots that scene. Mm-hmm. Of that bomb drop.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's expertly shooting all of the scenes.
Tell me about it.
But the way that bomb drops, that like when you're done with it, you're just like, fuck.
Dude.
And if you got left on that note in the theater, mm-hmm. even after like 15 minutes of being like, and then they took away all his shit.
Yeah.
You'd be like, well, why don't I give a shit? But you're like, by the time it's over, you're thinking more about like, why do I care about the fact that he lost his clearances, and why do I care about this? Then you are thinking like, man, that bomb was awesome.
Actually, the only thing I was thinking after that scene, I was like, how did Christopher Nolan get this footage of me jizzing?
That's the stupidest thing. That's the dumbest shit I've ever said, I think.
All right. Estimated budget of $100 million, the same as Barbie.
Oh, I entertained the shit out of myself with that one. Okay, sorry.
We will not be doing the box office game because it's the same as it was last week.
The
estimated budget was $100 million. Now,
uh-huh.
I know it was a full week and 2 hours ago. And not just 2 hours ago, that you found out what the opening weekend budget for this film was.
Right, right.
Do you remember what it was?
No, I don't remember, actually.
Of course.
It's been a week and 2 hours. But I want to say it made opening weekend domestic, right? It made like 75.
He chose.
Oh, damn.
82.
Oh, come on, that's close enough. I didn't even overshoot it.
No, you just heard it a week ago. You should have remembered.
You're enough.
Too busy building that pocket jizz joke.
Fucking Bryce.
All right, what was the overall domestic gross?
Did you tell me this last week too?
No.
No, you didn't.
No, that was just Barbie.
Yeah, no, you didn't. I'm going to say that it made domestically $201 million.
He chose.
Damn.
328.
Damn, it made that much domestically?
Yeah.
Holy
shit. For a 3-hour movie, that's pretty wild.
Fucking nuts. Yeah. Scorsese ain't getting those numbers, babe.
No, he is not.
No.
But like.
But he makes great movies.
And what is he here? He's like, yeah, whatever.
He's fucking Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, we're making a movie about the natives. What do you want?
He's Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese is just a high-pitched De Niro in my... That's my impression of Scorsese.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always says to Bobby. Yeah, says to Bobby, hey, do it like this. Is that a pretty good Marty? Is that what he sounds like? Is it really?
I don't know. Is it racist if I said it's bad? If I said it was good?
Wait, why? Why would it be racist?
He's like Italian and Jewish.
He's white. Forget.
Oh boy.
Anyway.
Oh boy. We have fun here. All right. Gross worldwide, $954 million.
Damn, yeah. It almost made a billion.
It almost made a billion.
Damn. That's crazy.
All right. So obviously, no reboot recast, but I got to get your
rating.
Full on rating.
Okay. I would give this out of 10. Out of 10. I'm not going to say money shots.
No.
You know I wanted to, but I'm not going to say that.
No, I'm going to say what you wanted to say.
What is it?
Because I'm going to do mine.
Oh, okay.
Because like technically, this was a first watch for me as well. So
okay, gotcha.
But I just want everyone to know that when I say this,
No, you can't put it on me. I don't know. No, I don't accept that.
Yeah.
I do not accept that. Out of 10 millimeters. Because you know 70 millimeters.
Now that is about as Bryce as you can get.
There we go. Out of 10 millimeters, I give this movie. Are you ready for this, Chase?
Yeah.
I give it 10 millimeters, baby. That's a 10 out of 10 for me. I give it 10 out of 10. I thought it was great. I think it's my favorite Christopher Nolan movie.
Wow. All right. So here's the way that Bryce would have written it.
Nope.
Would have graded it.
Not true.
I'll give you my actual rating, but out of the things that Bryce really wanted to say.
Nope.
Out of 10 Florence pubes.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that's fair. I can't even deny that.
Yeah. Out of 10 Florence pubes.
Uh-huh.
I give it a 8.5.
That's funny. 8.5.
8.5.
Okay. You give everything a 10, though, so this means you fucking hated this movie.
Can I know?
If you So, yeah, what were the things you didn't like about it, though?
I don't know. I was just kind of bored.
Just bored with it?
Yeah but okay. I wasn't, like, bored in the sense of, like, I'm turning it off.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was bored in the sense of, like, all right, I get it.
Okay.
I get it. I'm tired. I've been tired. I'm working a lot.
Yeah.
And also, it may or may not be for the government. Which has a lot to do with
you
the government.
You may or may not be a Highlander that's employed by the government. You may or may not be immortal. Okay, we get it.
I mean, we all know I hate the government. But like, I also love the government. It is my government. We have to love our government to an extent. But we're allowed to say that we don't without being penalized.
Look, you're just a regular guy as far as we know.
So I'm even more normal than, you know, normal people.
That's you.
So 8.5 Florence
Okay, cool. Nom in space.